Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Star Fuentes is a master intuitive healer and spiritual teacher and has been a pioneering student of metaphysics for over 50 years. She has learned lifetimes of priceless information from her years of seeking out and living with indigenous healers and shamans around the world. Visit her website at www.starfuentes.com and then join her here every Wednesday night on Spiritual Connections Radio as she shares her knowledge with you. And now, Star Fuentes.
Welcome. After the half hour, we'll be taking callers 646-716-9663. Tonight, I have a legend. I have two legends, and two of the most powerful spiritual leaders in the world. I have Alex and Allison Gray with me. Good evening.
Hey, Star.
Good evening.
Great. Now, Alex, almost all of my clients, my listeners know who you are. Tell us what we need to know about you and your art.
Well, I am a mystic and a visual artist and weave an interdimensional, multi-dimensional mind, body, spirit, energy, bodies included kind of vision of a translucent human that you can see the energies of the creative spirit moving through, and to try and point to the universal human that is a vessel for divine spirit. And so this revisioning of the human anatomy as a thing of a holy design came into the center of my work when my partner for life, Allison Gray, inspired and then named the Sacred Mirrors. The Sacred Mirrors was the first series of paintings that I became known for. And this series that Allison inspired came from a performance that we did back in 1978, back in Boston. And so we were performance artists and painters, and the love that brought us together, I think, is the foundation of the significance of my work, because it was inspired mostly through Allison's kind of muse-like guidance. And then also, as an artist, I'll let her talk in a second, that she's also directed by looking at the artwork and making suggestions, direct suggestions, like, well, why don't you move that figure over here? Then it'll have a lot more impact. And so we have a kind of third mind that works together to bring about a better thing than if we were either of us just alone doing our thing, even though we love to do our, you know, our independent paintings. I'd say that the unique studio where we are able to see each other's work and comment and be a part of the making, the creating of stuff, it improves the product, and it helps me to see what's important. So, at any rate, my partner, Allison Gray, maybe.
Allison.
Yes?
Sweetie. He says, like, you're right there inspiring him, helping him shape the art. Tell us about how does it feel to work in such a bonded, artistic couple relationship for how many years have you guys been together now?
40.
How does it feel? And
well,
talk about
I think
it.
I think I like to just say that we share a studio. So that I think is some artists, you know, who are married or who are together may have separate studios, and so many wonderful artist couples that we know do. But we chose always from the beginning of our relationship to share a studio and to work collaboratively. And now today, in today's visionary art world, collaborating is, you know, it's co-creative, it's non or, say, less competitive, it's more, you know, it's collaborative. So we have always collaborated, but we always had our own work as well. And Alex is completely the influence of why my work looks the way it does. Believe it or not, even though my work and Alex's work looks very different, I think we've influenced each other because we like Alex talks about the third force, we try to see through each other's eyes. We try to know the other person so well that we're not telling them what we would do, we're telling them more what we think they might do. So we just have, I don't know, we have two artists here at Cosm right now who are collaborating on a mural. And so it's becoming more and more, I think, acceptable in art to both have your own individual work and also be collaborative. But Alex is such a genius. You know, nobody would ever believe that I, you know, that his work is because
okay,
of me.
And what is your website? Where can I but find some of your works?
Well, we both have websites, AlisonGray.com and AlexGray.com, and we also have Cosm. Cosm is our social sculpture. It's the work of art that we co-create most completely because it is actually it is very physical, but it has many dimensions, including the dimension of time. It's a retreat center and a visionary temple in the Hudson Valley that Alex and I have co-created.
And what city and state is that located in?
That would be Wappinger, New York. It's right on the Hudson River. We're about 1,500 feet from the Hudson River.
It sounds wonderful. I'm
going
to get up there. I'm going to get up there. Good. Look up the websites, people. Their art is remarkable. One of the very first things I thought of when I saw Alex and Allison's art was, oh, my God, somebody can paint energy. And there's this remarkable thing the two of you do is there's expression of energy and there's expression of dimension and there's expression of consciousness in your art. And how did you get from flat land, you know, a point on a piece of paper, to multidimensional art? How did that process happen?
I think that the short answer is that you have to experience the multidimensionality of reality, and then you find ways of alluding to the interdimensionality in your work. The one dimension we could say is the representational, realistic portrayal of outer things that we're very used to. That's a standard realist interpretation of the experience of life. Then, like a classic, like Vermeer, even, you know, that's a really amazing portrayal of external reality. Then we have another kind of, like angels that have luminous kind of bodies around them or something. You can see a number of old master paintings that have these kinds of, they're luminous angels that are floating in the sky and stuff. That's another dimension of reality, but it's often interpenetrating with the sort of material world. And so that is a convention that we find quite often in sacred art, you know, that there is a kind of lower dimension or a material dimension and a higher dimension or a spiritual dimension. And maybe beyond that, there's a transcendental source, I'd say, in the Tibetan Buddhist and many of the other traditions, say, even in the monotheism of the West, we'd find a transcendental source that lies outside of time in a way and yet causes, is the creator of existence. And so there's a reference sometimes in a well-constructed work of art that can point both from the material dimension and from the visionary dimension toward the transcendental dimension. And that's what I try to do in my artwork, because that, to me, is a more satisfying portrayal of the spectrum of existence that a human being encounters in their journey of life. And that to see that portrayed or mapped in some way, including the luminous body, but within the context of its enmeshment in the flesh, its temporary enmeshing in the flesh, and its transcendental origin, that contextualizes the light body in such a way that it's philosophically grounded in the mystic tradition that is beyond one tradition or another, but is really the the human mystic vision.
Yeah, Allison, do people get it? Do people get it when they look at the artwork, that it's dimension, that it's the angelic realms, that it's the electrical light flowing through our body? Do people get it, or do they take sometimes a little bit to get one layer and the next?
Well, I think Alex's work touches people very deeply and globally, and we run into people all over the world that feel deeply about Alex's art, and they feel resonant with it. They feel like they've been there. They feel like they've seen these realms, and they're also very amazed at Alex's ability to portray energy. And so I think that, yes, I think that they totally, that's what has made Alex's work so beloved. And then, of course, there's my painting, and my painting also portrays the psychedelic experience from an abstract perspective. The neon and, sorry, color, the bright neon spectral color, and I think the, you know, center focus mandala, the many fountains and drains of energy. I just portray it in a more abstract way, but I think in many ways Alex and I are talking about the same experience of unity and light and all things being made of light and being one.
And where can I purchase this art?
Well, we both have websites, alexgray.com, alexandgray.com, and there's a shop, Cosm Shop, where we have, you know, over 35 posters, and we have maybe another 35 limited edition prints, and even as low as stickers and as high end as, you know, levels of support for Cosm, because Cosm is a visionary art sanctuary, and we're building a temple here. We're in the midst of laying the foundation. We've been working on getting to this stage. Well, I mean, this has always been our goal. Alex and I had a vision, a simultaneous vision in 1985, that we would build a temple, and we're closer than we've ever been. You know, we have land here in the Hudson Valley. We have 40 beautiful acres, and many, many visitors come and stay here and come to our ceremonies and come to our workshops and have weddings here and stay overnight and walk the wisdom trail. It's absolutely beautiful. So this is the place where we're going to build the temple, and you can see the temple portrayed. It's called Entheon, and you can see it portrayed at cosm.org. Cosm stands for Chapel of Sacred Mirrors.org. So that's where the website is that you can find out about purchasing art, purchasing reproductions of art, beautiful posters that are very economical, that, you know, that resonate with that energy that, people can so identify with. And, yeah, we both have posters, and we have apparel there. You can wear the clothes, you know. We were just looking at some new apparel today, so people are using the patterns and the images on clothing, and it's just it's a wonderful community, and all proceeds of everything that you buy from the shop go towards building a temple. So the idea is, let's all build a temple together. There's lots of ways. I mean, we just harvested honey today. We have a hives here at Cosm, and all, can honey build a temple? Yes, we sell honey to build a temple. We do lots of, you know, different things to raise money for the temple, and it's to make the work available to everyone. Rather than to have it all owned by individuals private in their home, we saved a lot of the work, and a lot of work has been, you know, provided to us to make it available to the public, as it was when we had a space in New York City. We had a community center 12,000 square feet in Manhattan for 5 years, where tens of thousands of people came and enjoyed the environment, the context of this visionary art, and the visionary art of many, many wonderful friends. Like I was saying, our friends who are muraling the cafe. We have artists in residence here who come and mural. They're invited because of their extraordinary talent. And Aloria Weaver and David Heskin are down there muraling the Mushroom Cafe right now. It's beautiful. You've got to come
see. That sounds wonderful. You know, I have, years ago, I purchased from both of you, I purchased the mirror, one of the mirror ones, and you signed it for me, Alex, and it sits on the wall. I have a 600 square round foot geodesic dome center, and it sits there, and people stand in front of it, and I watch as their energies truly change. They go through different dimensions. Their body will even seem to appear to me, well, then I see, you know, I see pretty well for a humanoid. Anyway, their body will seem to change, and then I believe that stepping in front of your art, possessing your art, being with people like Alex and Allison, that they bring the gateways, they bring the portals for you to expand into different dimensions that they worked so hard to get into. And I think Allison said that they've kept some of the art. They haven't just sold it off so some museum would have it. They kept that so later on you can go visit their museum and you can step into these states of consciousness that are very, very high. Alex, what else would you like to tell us today?
Well, I don't think I've ever told anybody, maybe but Allison, maybe a few friends this, but long ago, I guess, when the sacred mirrors were up at Normal, Illinois, I took some acid and I stood in front of these pieces, you know, just myself that night, and just to hang out with the sacred mirrors. And standing in front of the psychic energy system, I got a whole kind of, like, it pulled some element of my soul into itself, and it kind of reformatted my psychic hard drive, and then it gave me back some cleaner equipment somehow. It was like I squeegeed my third eye and went to the karma cleaners, and then it said that this was a basically a transmission from the future that that would help during the bridge times,
which is now.
Yeah,
it does, and you know, I used to see, when I used to go to dimensions, I used to see the eyes. Then I used to see the galaxies, and now I see the E8. So I am just amazed how, as I grow, and I'm 75 years old now, I mean, as I grow and I still learn and I perceive different things, that even my perceptions change so much. So stand in front of their paintings, stand in front of their artwork, people, and I have observed changes in me, good changes in me, and it changes in my friends and clients.
Can I say about Star Fuentes, though, that what I remember about Star is the times that you did a reading for us, and you are the only person that has ever done a reading for me or for Alex that I ever remember that was so dead on. And I thought that your reading was so intuitive and so based on a very interesting and kind of ancient way of reading that I was really impressed with your confidence and such, I don't know, seamless, smooth ability to see into other people, us, that you didn't even know and really know things. That I've always remembered, Star. That still stay with Alex and I, we quote you. So I just wanted you to say that.
Well, thank you very much. And this is what I remember. Being at an art opening at one of the museums in New York City, and art and Alex sketching on a pad, being at some type of spiritual play, and Alex sketching on a pad, being at a party, and Alex sketching on his pad, and I went, this is someone who all time, every time is the time to create. This is not like, okay, tomorrow I go to my studio between 6 and noon and I create. I was just so impressed that every time I saw Alex in a public situation, most of the times, that he was working on something. And I said, wow, I wish I could be like that.
Is that right?
Yeah. So are you going to be doing any, I see you need $1.5 million more to build your center.
Yeah.
Are you going to be doing any major fundraising? I'm certain
that will. And as Allison was saying, all of the things we sell in the store and stuff, really all of our journeys around the world, they're paying into COSM. We're kind of doing it. We're working for the church, you know. We're trying to raise the money that will help build Entheon. Let me say this.
We just closed on a loan that they put together. It was like a loan that they put together from our old loan.
Mm-hmm.
And a new construction loan, and it's a consolidated loan. So we actually are working on this really amazing ability to borrow money, but not actually pay much more than we were paying before. So our monthly payments are only slightly more, and we're very affordable right now. We're doing amazing events, workshops, and we're open 365 nights a year to guests, to overnight guests who can come here and stay here, and that helps us. And we've got a full moon coming up this Saturday, and we have art church on Sunday. I wanted to say about Alex drawing everywhere you see him. You know, at COSM, we promote art as a spiritual path, art including music as well and dance and all kinds of, arts. So, but we're painters ourselves and went to art school. Alex and I met in art school. So we promote art as a spiritual path. And on Sunday afternoon for art church, we will be not only focusing on nature mysticism, which is really so in evidence up here in the Hudson Valley, where, you know, the Hudson Valley was the home of the first American, you know, say, art movement of the European Americans, you know, not the Native Americans, but the European Americans. Art movement started with the Hudson River School, and it's all about how gorgeous it is up here right now with all the colors and everything. So people come up here just to stay and to be overnight. But then we have art church. We're going to focus on nature mysticism. We're going to draw silently to beautiful music in the veranda and in the library of this old Victorian house that we have tricked out, and it's so wonderful. Come anytime. Come all winter, because we have a fire. We have a fire in the fireplace waiting for you, Star. So anyway,
well, I definitely will come, and people, please, you know, you might even see me up there. Come on in and enjoy this.
And you'll see us building Entheon. We're starting to build Entheon right now. We're putting the foundation in. We're building it around a carriage house that was originally built in 1882. It was one of the buildings on the property when we came here. And we're restoring all the buildings that were here. There were six buildings and a barn here. And we've restored three of them, and this is number four, and it's our carriage house, and it's our exhibition. It's a visionary art exhibition. Some of our friends saw our environment, our inspiring environment in Manhattan, and loved it. And we have so many friends, and now our friends are even, you know, our events are even larger. Actually, up here we have more room, but we will, you know, get that installation of art back in its beautiful, beautiful new home, I would say within the next 18 months. It's going to take a while, but you can come and see it as it's in progress. It's going to be a completely sculpted building. The entire surround is Alex Gray sculptures that he has designed and that we've had computer modeled, and that will be printed out, 20-foot sculptures printed out in foam and then cast in concrete. It'll be a cast concrete building, just like the Pantheon in Rome.
It sounds wonderful, and maybe I'll get you guys to come down here to Hot Springs, Arkansas, and we can attract
people. Is
that
where you are?
Yeah, that's where I am. I have a nice, beautiful temple here, and we'll get the people from Dallas and Little Rock and Memphis and Nashville. They all drive in for my events, so we can get you doing on that. I would like to encourage people that if you possess something that Alex and Allison have co-created together, this piece is a piece of a journey. It's not like having a piece of art and going, oh, that's nice. These pieces will take you on journeys. These pieces will let you understand energy and dimensions better. And I definitely believe that all of these people are, all of these people and paintings in the people and whatever's in the paintings are portals. So find some art online, take a look at it, and then, of course, commit to your own spiritual growth, invest in your own spiritual growth by buying something, even if it's a bedspread. I don't care. The bedspreads are really cool. Whatever it is, please participate in these wonderful people's lives. Alex, what's up and new coming besides the building? Is there a new book?
Wow. Well, of course, there's always many things doing. We just came out with the COSM Journal of Visionary Culture, and this focus has been on community. And so we interview people from Findhorn and from Wavy Gravy's community and from all over the world. And then there are artists, visionary artists who are also community leaders around the world that are interviewed. And so we're starting to work on our next issue, which is going to be on divinity. And so the COSM Journal keeps moving along, and we keep discovering new visionary artists, you know, who bring such a – everyone is evolving on the other, you know. So we're co-evolving a kind of language of this visionary realm. And so many people have experienced many of the same things, like you were saying, the eyes, and they're in kind of a lattice-like dimension, a dimension of a kind of geometries and things. So these are, I think, even important as far as classifications of visionary physiology and perception. These are now a kind of, you can find references to them in sacred art from all over the world. So we're working on a kind of encyclopedia of visionary phenomena and dimensions.
Okay, we're at our half-hour break here, so we'll be right back.
You're listening to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Star Fuentes is a master intuitive healer and spiritual teacher and has been a pioneering student of metaphysics for over 50 years. She has learned lifetimes of priceless information from her years of seeking out and living with indigenous healers and shamans around the world. Visit her website at www.starfuentes.com and then join her here every Wednesday night on Spiritual Connections Radio as she shares her knowledge with you. Once again, Star Fuentes.
So you have this encyclopedia of information that you're putting together, and?
Well, the Cosm's Journal of Visionary Culture is a kind of a carrier of a lot of this information, and so people would find it at cosm.org, and you can either download them or you can get the physical copy of it. So it's one of those exciting elements. I'm working on a number of paintings, Star. I've just finished another in my beings that are what I call the steepleheads. And the steepleheads are the top point of Entheon. And so I'm doing a number of portraits of these kind of very psychedelic, radiant kinds of angelic forms. They have four faces that face the four directions. Their lower eyes are closed, but their third eyes are flaming and open. And so these are the four people, or the people of the four directions, coming together in visionary oneness, because their foreheads go up to basically a kind of a point on top for the end of the steeple. And so these beings coming together in oneness, in a very obvious kind of symbolic gesture, it has references to, you know, past sacred art, but it's also a new kind of archetype that a number of visionary artists are exploring, I think, these connected heads, because it's a way to talk about expanded consciousness. And so then I'm working on a seven-pointed vision crystal, which is just a fractal of eyes that go into a seemingly endless regress of little triangular eyes. So, and I'm working on another one right now that's called Third Eye Tears of Joy.
Wow. That's a lot to work on. I'm working on something really interesting called Resurrection. And I have taken the Nancy Burson software, which she developed to age people for the FBI, and I've used the triangles she used in the different positions and extrapolated them across the body. I have taken the petals of each chakra and mounched them up counterclockwise and clockwise. Up the levels, there are 111 levels. The acupuncture points go up or down on each level with the axitonal grids. With working together in this massive piece of software that I'm having some guy in India write me. And what we're going to do is we're going to be able to start resurrecting, pulling out the telomeres so that your liver, your organ, your face, whatever it is, has more time to live and be vital. But it's a pretty complex project, and I think I'll be presenting it in 16. So
wow.
It's way out there, but hey, nobody's...
I'm loving it. Now, does this have anything to do with timelines?
Yes, yes, and you know, there's timelines in people's body that get stuck. You know,
mm-hmm.
if women who lose their husbands, their hair grows gray in 3 days, and they push that timeline ahead that says, I'm not going to have anything left to live for. Your doggie dying, we're going to have an incident and event track on there. Your doggie dying, you know, at 6 years old, we're gonna go back and clean that up. But I expect this to be a month-long workshop with everybody possessing the software. And I love the E8. I don't know if you've got to see any of Alex, of Lisi Garrett's work. It's the only theory that gravity fits in, and I believe it's emissions from outer space that are subatomic particles, and they don't have any mathematical reason for being there. And I believe it is a map of sentient light forces in the mini galaxy, because it's not just in this galaxy. My belief believes that we're supposed to contact them spiritually before we can meet with them physically. So I've been working on the E8, which is physics is just cranking my brain to get understand that physics. And that's been really interesting. If you get a chance, look up the E8 and see if you can just listen to a few minutes about it. It's kind of mind-boggling, but you and Allison enjoy that. Do we have any
calls?
I
think that's super important work, sir. So
yeah,
wonderful.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's important work, so I'm doing it. Do we have any calls there?
Yeah, we actually just had one come in. Let me give you a stick for now while I go screen one.
Okay.
Go ahead, stick.
Hi, guys. I love Alex. I love your art, Allison. I love your art. I've seen it on website.
Thank you.
I've seen it. I'm just before I ask my question about me. What's the writing on the secret writing pendant mean?
Well, secret writing has been my art for 40 years or so. I mean, the secret writing, though, to be as concise as possible, it represents creative manifestation, the language of creativity. And it's there to remind us that everything in the manifest world is a symbol, that every mouth noise that I'm making right now is a symbol, that everything that comes in through the divine and comes out as a manifest thing, it has a symbolic meaning, because we are all, that, because it's human to make meaning and to create symbols. And art, as an artist, you know, we are definitely making symbols. But dancers are symbolically representing themselves through their body movement, and vocalists, and every creative flow is filled with symbols. So this is a symbol system, a language symbol system that is created to represent that very fact.
Wow.
Hey there, actor.
Yes.
Break a leg and just think of it. All that tells you how to make your acting better, but it's on a higher consciousness for you, okay? Darling?
Wow, it would be good for me to get, actually.
All right, so focus on it. Thank you, Stig.
Okay.
Someone
else? Hold on for 1 second. Make sure I'm not muted. Okay, hold on for a second. All right, Debbie, you're on.
Hi, thank you. This is Debbie.
Hi, Debbie. Do you have a question?
Yeah, I have a lot of uncommunicative people around me, and I'm wondering if you know if this is something I'm doing or if just some kind of lesson I need to learn.
Allison, do you want to give her a shot at that one?
Well, and Alex, please tag in if you have something to say. But yes, I think that's the answer to my question. Yes, it is you. It's all about you. It is you. And that is it. I mean, if you would want any transformation in your life, if you feel that there's something that you are, you know, like an obstacle or a wall that you're hitting, if you are either one of two things, you're the cause or you're the victim, okay? So it's either cause or victim. You're either the cause of that obstacle
or you're the victim of that obstacle. Now, when you're a victim, you're like a bug under a pin. You can't do anything about it, and you're helpless. So you're much better off to think of yourself as the cause, because when you can see how you are the cause of whatever mess you're looking at, if you can see, if you can find out, if you can go and search your soul and find out how you're the cause, then you can do something about it. You then can make changes in your life. And I know that, you know, we all have these obstacles. I mean, when I was a young person, I hated my father. And it wasn't until I changed. You know, I transformed in my relationship with my father. My entire view of him changed. I had to see him as different than I had ever seen him before, with compassion, you know, and forgiveness for allowing him to be exactly who he was because he couldn't be any other way. And then our relationship transformed. And when he died, which just happened this past year, I felt complete with him. Because he knew I loved him. I loved him as much as I loved him very as much as I could love him. And
right.
Okay.
So I gotta say something, sweetie. You're hiding a secret. And every time you hide the secret deeper inside yourself, you push away other people. So this is your project. Find out what your secret is and talk to one person about it. And you will not be manifesting all these uncommunicative people. Do you hear me?
Yeah.
And you know what that secret is, right?
Guilt.
What?
It's some kind of guilt, like something
okay.
My parents
did
to me.
You're going to have to review, because it's much more than guilt. Review yourself, figure it out, let go of it, and then people will communicate with you, because you're going to be able to communicate with yourself. That is just a mirror out there. You're not communicating with yourself. That's what you're manifesting. Thank you, sweetie.
Okay.
Allison, that was a very good insight there. And anyone else waiting online there for us?
Okay, Sean.
Yes, hi. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Sean, what's your question?
Well, when I look at your work, Alex, aside from sort of pondering into the connection of the topic that you're painting with the bigger picture, I always come to a point where I wonder about the method of channeling that must have taken place for each particular topic that you're conveying. And I just wonder, over time, does the sort of channeling that happens with you, has it evolved in sort of a linear path, or does it kind of have the same rooted connection to you? Or I just kind of wanted to know your how you feel on that channeling process.
That's such a cool question. I don't think I've ever been asked that question. I think it kind of has evolved in a way. My feeling is that if you continue to show that you're serious, you know, to the light workers and stuff, that they will maybe continue to work with you, or they'll see that you're worth working with, or you're dedicated to serving them in a way. And so I didn't exactly get that to begin with at all. And I didn't probably even have any idea that I was working with some kind of beings necessarily. And because, you know, what is the imagination? You know, and many people would argue, like Ibn Arabi, the great Sufi mystic, that the imagination itself is an angel. It's our angel. That it's where God meets God, basically, he says. And so I kind of believe that, but I also kind of believe that we are working with other beings. And so over the years, I've grown to know other beings that will speak to me, not just show me things. You know, like I later came to hear certain things around dawn, that a particular angel would only want to speak around dawn. And so I started to call it the voice of dawn. But, and it would just be because you were totally clear. I was asleep. It woke me up, you know. And then you could, you didn't have everything else on your mind. It really chose the right time, you know. And so, so then there's, and then there's others that I think are, some are associated with plant medicines and with a kind of agenda that the plant medicines have. And then some of them, I think, are associated with other kind of sacraments, and some are associated with the Tibetan Buddhist tradition, which I'm, the Vajrayana, which I'm very interested in. But I think they have very tangible spiritual forces that they work with, and so the energetic component of that is somehow impinging on my, you know, kind of whatever channeling comes about. So I think there's a confluence of celestials that are perhaps in an advisorly manner. When I show more seriousness and focus in the artwork, I think they are more communicative. And when I'm, you know, unable to focus on the artwork for, you know, I think they are less communicative. You know, that's my, you know, understanding.
Yeah. Wow, that was a huge question. Thank you, Alex, for answering that. Thank you, Sean, for asking that.
Excellent. Thank you so much for having me.
All righty. Anyone else? Well,
Sorry about that, Star. We're having a lot of problems with the switchboard switching between phone lines, so we've had these delays tonight. You are all set for now. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, Mark. Please tell us once again, what is your website, where we can buy your art, and how can we get in touch with Alex Gray and Allison Gray?
Well, you can always find us at my... you can write me personally, allison@cosm.org. I give out my email address to everyone. It's spelled A-L-L-Y-S-O-N at cosm.org, C-O-S-M.org. And we love hearing from people. We have a blog that's Ask Allison and Alex. It actually started Ask Allison, and then Alex always wants to answer as well. And so we find that we answer questions together as a couple, best of all. And so if you have any questions about art and life, we love all those kinds of questions. And our website is COSM, stands for Chapel of Sacred Mirrors. That's what we're creating up here in the Hudson Valley, the Chapel of Sacred Mirrors. And so it's COSM.org. And there's AlexGray.com. And there's AllisonGray.com. That has a little bit more of a deeper dissection into our own personal art and life. And then COSM.org is our... Well, thank you for that.
Now, tell me both of you, what is it that you find people right now need to work on, need to comprehend, and need to know? What is it that's up spiritually for all of us here on the planet?
Well, I think that the spiritual edge of consciousness, which is whoever the listeners are out there and whoever cares about what's going on in Star's world and in our world, I think that we're looking at people who are trying to evolve human consciousness. And so that is really the what I see is that there is a planetary civilization in formation made up of those who wish to evolve their consciousness. And many of the young people, I guess they're called millennials now, folks who are in their 20s and early 30s and things like that, they're a lot of them are born with this kind of third eye open and a sense of the necessity to unite as a human race, to get over our petty squabbling and to try to preserve what remains of the life web, and to really find the answers to climate change and dial in the new energies that will help us to turn the boat around from human self-destruction to a new world that we can imagine together and we can co-create as a human species. And what I propose, because Toynbee says that there has to be a spiritual core to a planetary to any civilization. So, you know, we think of the arts as representing this kind of creative spirit of humanity, and that's a viable contender for a kind of spiritual anchor for a planetary civilization. Because if your religion is art, then you're connected with all of the religions, because all of them had art. All of them had sacred art, and art takes us back to the caves 30,000 years ago. So as long ago as humans left a mark, we can kind of connect ourselves back with the human journey. And in this way, I think that we can think about a kind of post-secular humanity that really sees its own divinity as a sacred mirror, and that we're all sacred mirrors that see the one reflected in all of us. And I think this is coming. I think a lot of the millennials feel it already. They're born with it. And they want to manifest this world that respects the nature web and all of the celestials as well.
Thank you, Alex. Allison, what do you
think? Yes, Lenny. What do I think?
Mm-hmm.
What do I think is, what do you mean? What do I think?
What do you think we need to know spiritually, the people out there right now?
Oh, what do I think we need to know spiritually? Well, I think we all need a worthy task, you know, a righteous task. And I think that's what we're manifesting over here, is a righteous task. The building of temples is the inevitable consequence of love. When you love each other enough and you love your community, and a whole community of people come together in love, love of spirit, love of the divine, you want to have a home for that spirit, and you build temples. So I think it's a good idea for everyone to have a righteous task and build temples. Absolutely. Make beauty. Create and make beauty everywhere you can.
I agree. People, listen. People, listen out there. Don't tell me you're working on it. I want to see it in the physical plane. Are you feeding the hungry? Are you building a temple? Are you painting art? Are you writing a book? Don't tell me you're working on something, because most of the times you're not. Bring that spiritual, emotional, mental, that psychic plane, and do something on the material plane. Look at Alex and Allison's art. Look at my dome. Look at my 12 books. Look at their dozens of books and hundreds of paintings. Spiritual needs to come to the earthly plane. It needs to be manifested so that the light is embedded here on the planet Earth, so it's not floating around in ideas, so it's not something we talk about. It is something we build. It is something we co-create. And it is our common unity to change the physical plane of Earth as we change. And as we change, the physical plane of what changes. Ask yourself, how am I going to bring in the light? Maybe you're not a painter. Maybe you're not a writer. maybe you're not a teacher, but how are you going to bring it in? Are you going to grow a nice garden? Are you going to have 100 beehives? How are you going to bring all these wonderful dreams, the earth being lit up in light, and nations getting along right now, tomorrow, today? How are you going to bring it into the physical play? It's not enough to talk about it. It's not enough to plan it. Beyond being spiritual, you need to do spiritual. You need to do right. Long time ago, 20 years ago, 40 years ago, the first wave was about being light. Now manifest the temples. Manifest the artwork. Manifest the books. Manifest feeding the children. Making them shoes. I don't care. Put something into the physical plane. And Alex and Allison, tell me one more time where your beautiful retreat center is.
It's in the town of Wappinger, New York, just past Beacon, on the Metro North train that makes a stop at New Hamburg. It's about a mile's walk from there, and an easy car drive, about an hour and a half from Manhattan. And it's just a stunning, kind of secluded, beautiful, just the perfect place to build a temple. And they always wanted to. The United Church of Christ used to own this land, and they desired also to build a temple here. So here we are, working on the same dream.
It is. It's a good dream, people. Participate. Participate with people like Alex and Allison and me, who've been doing this for 40, 50 years. Buy our products. Come take our classes. As you do this, you multiply your own light. You support us in continuing to be the people we need to be and for us to do the things that we need to do. So go to www.cosm.org and buy something. Buy something right now. I don't care if it's $5 or $5,000. Buy something. This is a way to participate in light and participate in the material.
It is. And we come to many areas. You know, we're going to be down in Atlanta and Asheville very soon. Not so far from you. We've been to the Ozarks, but I don't think we've ever been to where you are.
Well, you know what? Just send my secretary where you're going to be, because I have thousands of people on my Asheville and my Atlanta mailing list, and we can get them out of a little fire. Is there? We got about a minute or so left. Is there anything else either one of you would like to say?
We love you all, and thank you for your support over the years and for helping us to vision this dream of the Chapel of Sacred Mirrors into reality. We're bringing heaven to earth right here. Thank you, everyone,
and thank you, especially Allison.
I
hope to see you here in Hot Springs doing a class in the upcoming year. All right, people, go to www.masteryourlight.com. There's hundreds of free things that I've made, puzzles and quizzes and free lectures, but there's also some great, delicious stuff you can buy, workshops and things, maybe 12 books or so, and journals. Pay attention. Support me, too. Thank you, Alex Gray and Allison Gray, www.cosm.org, and alexgray.com and allisongray.com. And thank you for participating in Stargazing.
Thank you, Star.
Thank you, Star.
On behalf of Spiritual Connections Radio, thank you for listening to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Please join us again next week for another enlivening episode. For more information on Star's classes or services, visit her website at www.starfuentes.com or call the office at 501-609-0660. That's 501-609-0660.